When I arrived at the church for Grace and Eggs, I started asking people, what are you thankful for? Here's my list. Grandkids, first one, okay. Church family, sunny Monday morning life, youth, a warm house, friends and family, another day to thank Jesus. For my husband of 42 years, home, shelter, and family, one is thankful for everything. Another person's thankful for sick days from school. I wonder who that could be. And another one is thankful for money, for hugs, just being here, the life God has given me, almost done with grad school, and no snowstorm. Man, I know that, being thankful. You know, waking up and seeing the dusting of snow here, and there could be a foot of snow up where I used to live. But I was thankful for that. I've learned not to be thankful because I used to sit and laugh as a kid at all the snow that Ashtabula County would get. And suddenly I found myself 7 years of hard labor in Ashtabula County. I thought of Jacob and his 7 years of working for his ladies, and I thought, nope, I've learned that lesson. The title of today's message is Living a Life of Gratitude. Is it possible to live a life of gratitude and be thankful for everything? Most recently at the Romans Bible study, someone asked me this question: how can we be thankful for all these mass shootings that have taken place in our country? And I'm not really sure how I answered her, but I do know we are not thankful for the evil that has taken place, but rather we're thankful for the God who has everything in control, the God that causes everything to work together for good. This past week, I was listening to Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a well-known author and speaker, and when she was 17 years old, she became a quadriplegic due to a diving accident. She's been a quadriplegic for over 50 years. And she said this, and I paraphrase, "On some days, it's really easy to be thankful or to praise God. And we know that. Everything's gone your way. The sun is out. Everything is good. But what about the days when you've just received a diagnosis about a lump? Or perhaps a son and daughter who is very rebellious. Or maybe you're having to face life each and every day with chronic pain, which she does in her life." And she quoted this verse and said, "Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors God. It means that we, you and I, value and esteem God. We're thankful to God alone because we know that God will take every single situation and work it out for our good." The passage continues and says, "Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God." When you and I go through tough situations or circumstances that are beyond figuring out, it is easy to crumble. It is easy to complain, and it truly will be a sacrifice to be thankful. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that costs you. It's an offering. It's a gift. We need to reach deep down inside of ourselves and begin to thank God with everything that we have within us, just because God is God in our life. I've heard many people comment that they wished they had lived during the time of Jesus, that they could have walked with Jesus, met Jesus perhaps in his travels, come face to face with the living Christ. And I don't know if any of you have those aspirations or those wishes, but this was an extremely difficult time period to live in, extremely. and I don't have time in this message to elaborate. But oftentimes when we're reading the New Testament, we come across these verses such as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. But we don't know what the background was that went into these songs, into these words or these psalms or these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. Oftentimes we perceive the New Testament as just being joyful and victorious. And it is joyful, it is victorious, but we need to look back at what has happened to these people that have come before us, in particular the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit was given to them, and it was a grand time to live in the first century, but it is no different now because the Holy Spirit is still being poured out. The Holy Spirit is still being shed on our hearts today. And you and I need to remember that we can reach deep within ourselves and we can ask the Holy Spirit or we can ask God to fill our hearts with joy when we can barely get out of bed. Many charismatic churches are growing today. And the reason they're growing is because of the dependence on the Holy Spirit in one's life. The Holy Spirit wasn't just meant for those churches, but it was meant for you and I today. And I find great comfort every single day in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What does it take in your life for you to become ungrateful or unthankful? For many of us, just having the electricity off for an hour will throw us into a state of complete shock and confusion. Our lives change. We don't know what to do. And of course, I'm teasing. But maybe you're here today and you've lived your life by being unthankful. But every week you're present in church. I want you to know that the God that created us to be thankful is able to transform your life today, change your heart today to one of thankfulness. Before I read this morning's passage, I want to read what Paul wrote previously in this letter to the church of Corinth. And then you can see how the text, which is just a beautiful, beautiful text, was weaved into his letter in 2 Corinthians. Because the Apostle Paul's response to adverse circumstances is always one of thanksgiving. And a little later in the message, I'm going to tell you what he went through. But he's always thankful. He's always saying, I thank God. And the reason for that is because he knows the depth of his joy. He knows where his peace and his contentment come from. He doesn't always have to create it, if you will. Some people have to have excitement always going on in their life. They have to be going somewhere. They have to, when they just get home from a trip, they're planning a trip. There's always something going on in their life. Listen to this passage of Scripture. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia, modern-day Turkey. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. It kind of sounds like some of the youth outings I've been on, doesn't it? Maybe that's what it was, like a youth mission trip or something. I'm teasing. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And I want to pause there and say, I had to think, why, Paul, did you put who raises the dead? And I think somewhere in Paul's mind, he thought for sure he was going to die. but God was so capable of raising him from the dead if he did die. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. You know, it's really unclear, and the Bible and my research didn't give me enough direction what he did go through. But one thing is very, very clear. He expected to die. He really expected to die. And several lines later, he writes this wonderful portion of scripture. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal for such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Pray with me. God, open our hearts, illuminate our lives. Give us a thankfulness that'll never leave, no matter what the circumstance is. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I read an article about a mother that when her children were very small, when they started whining, she would interrupt their whining and she'd say, "Okay, tell me what you're thankful for." And in their little screaming voices, as little children are, they would usually say, "Mommy, Daddy, and the house." Those three things they were thankful for. And the mother kept this up throughout their childhood. And she noticed that the older they got, it took them a long time to think about what they were thankful for. They were becoming perhaps unthankful in their lives. You and I, we need to begin to look at our lives as opportunities for God to work in them. When the Apostle Paul was confronted with death, he says he stopped relying on himself and he learned to rely on God. It was through the hardship that Paul experienced and that God brought him that many came to Christ and also modeled their lives after the Apostle Paul. I want to take a closer look at this scripture that I read. A passage says, "But thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession." I always have trouble with those, okay? Procession, okay? I just need to slow down. Procession, I got it. But why have we been made captives? What is Christ's triumphal procession? If we look at this and if we look at what was happening back in the first century or even before that, when a victorious Roman warrior would return from war, he was often decorated with a robe. He was placed on a high chariot. Incense was even burnt to him. And he was paraded through the streets for everyone to see him, for everyone to praise him, for everyone to acknowledge him. And what the Apostle Paul is saying in this portion of scripture, in this verse, is that no matter what comes our way, no matter what you may be going through today, even when we face death, we are captives of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is good. And we are always, not sometimes, we are always led in a triumphal procession. Or you and I have won the war because our life belongs to God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And along with that, we have an aroma that's pleasing to people when people look at our life. The Apostle Paul learned to depend on God. And as I said earlier, he was always thankful for what he went through. I can't say that since I started pastoring or since I started serving Christ full time and relinquished my job as an accountant, that I've always been thankful for everything that I've experienced. I can think of many times when I become rather ungrateful in my life. But the example that he gives us in his ministry is that he's thankful. Let me read just a little bit of what he experienced during his ministry. He says, 3 times I've been shipwrecked. Well, I haven't been shipwrecked once yet. I haven't even been in a car wreck, so I'm grateful for that. One time he spent an entire night adrift on the sea. I've swam in Lake Erie. He says, I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I had my parsonage robbed, okay, so I can relate to that. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've had many sleepless nights. I have been hungry, I have been thirsty, and often have gone without food. I can't say I've ever had that. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. I went on a stupid camping trip one time, and I did. I shivered in the cold, but that wasn't for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you get the picture of what this man went through in his ministry? How many times he was beaten? How many towns he was thrown out of? Everything that Paul suffered. And I'm not being flippant when I say this, but if he was a United Methodist minister today and his DS started looking at his life and seeing everything he had experienced, he would receive a phone call from him or her saying, Paul, you need to go to the pastoral care office and talk to a counselor because this has got to be affecting your emotional and mental well-being. Because you just can't experience that much suffering and still be thankful. Or can you? And then the Apostle Paul comes to 2 Thessalonians and he writes this crazy scripture that we need to be thankful in every single circumstance. Man, isn't that hard? I remember when I was watching The Hiding Place. How many of you ever watched The Hiding Place with Corey Ten Boom? Oh, really powerful movie. We need to show it here at the church. But they were in a concentration camp. They were Dutch women who were captured and sent to a concentration camp because they were helping Jewish people hide in their home. And they went into their barracks, and I can't even describe the filth. They could smell it before they could see it, and there wasn't very good accommodation. The windows were broken, and I believe this is in Germany or Poland, you know, in the middle of winter, so obviously it's cold. And to make matters worse, there were fleas in the barracks. Man, I see a flea on my cat, and I just go, berserk, a berserk. Because you know if there's a flea on that cat, there might be 1,000 in your house or more. But anyways, Corey became very unthankful for her setting. Who's to blame her? But her sister says, Corey, The Bible tells us to be thankful in everything. And she says, no, Betsy, not for the fleas. And Betsy says, yes, Corey, for the fleas. We need to be thankful. And later they found out that the guards would not come into the barracks. And the reason they wouldn't come into the barracks was because of the fleas. So they were thankful for the fleas. And if they wouldn't have had the fleas, they wouldn't have been able to hold their Bible studies and lead people to Christ. What causes us not to respond in thankfulness or to live a life where we're just not grateful? Perhaps one of the things is our perception of how life should be. We all have a perception, don't we, of how life should be? But it's not. The plans we've made that have not turned out like we thought, being popular, being athletic, making good grades, having the perfect marriage, good kids, moms and dads that love us. When we feel like we've lost control of our lives, we become very ungrateful to God. Because we asked ourselves, if God loves me, why am I going through this? If God is so good, why am I entering a divorce? If God can do anything, why can't God just heal me? And you know what I've found out? It's okay. It's okay to ask God those why questions. I do it all the time. But I still want to honor God, and I still want to reverence God in my life when I'm asking them. And that's the difference in how you ask. For me, control of my life has always been very important. You know, I can about remember when I was 16 years old and I was driving in downtown Mansfield, and I said to myself, Chris, you just need to take charge of your life. You need to be in control. You know, I didn't repeat that to anybody else. And this is actually the first time I've ever repeated that. You need to take charge. And take charge I did. I thought, I'm going to make something out of my life. My life is going to be productive. And that word productive became like a shackle and chain, if you will, around my neck. I didn't so much major in accounting in college because I wanted to be an aspiring accountant, or I felt this was where God was leading me, but I majored in accounting because I thought it looked good or would complement my law degree. And that's why I majored in accounting, and because it was the hardest major. And shortly after I graduated and had my bachelor's degree, it was in that July of 1984, I was off to Oklahoma to begin my law career, to become a success, and to become productive. After my first year of law school, which turned out disastrous, absolutely disastrous, I became very ungrateful to God, very ungrateful. My dream of becoming a lawyer had failed. And for a perfectionist, this was a great shame to me. It was a shame in my life, almost too much for me to bear in my own life. I soon found a sales job, and I found that I was very good at selling things. Very good. And I could make a lot of money selling things. And so I fell into what back in the 80s was called the yuppie lifestyle. Who remembers those yuppies that were around? Man, didn't they? Oh, we see some hands coming up. Let me explain to you what a yuppie was. They usually had well-paid jobs, and they lived very fashionable lifestyles. You bought your clothes at a certain place. You just spent oodles of money on moi, okay? On yourself. So I soon fell into that lifestyle. And that brought me some comfort. And I had never left my church, and I still prayed. But I still had this ungratefulness within my soul. And it just ate away at me, and the shame ate away at me in my 20s. To my church family, my family, I appeared the epitome of success. But my own success and that image started to fall or be destroyed. I think when I was at the altar praying for about the 100th time, oh God, please let me become a lawyer. Please let me become a lawyer. And I don't know if this was the first time that God perhaps had spoke this to my spirit, but maybe it was the first time I listened because I was so tired in my 20s. People in their 20s can become tired. They can become really tired. And I heard this small voice speak to me and say, I have something better for you. And in my 20-year-old mind, or in my little yuppie world that was still my last goal and desire was to become a lawyer, because what else would I want in life but to drive a BMW, to dress fashionably, and to be a lawyer? Was there anything else in service to Christ? You know? But I listened. And I started to heal. And heal, and heal, and heal through those years. And now, when I look back at my life, and I think, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't become a lawyer. Thank you. Thank you that I didn't stay a yuppie. Do you know how expensive it is to be a yuppie? Do you know what you guys would have had to pay me? I'm joking, okay? To be a yuppie pastor? You know, God has brought me so far. God has just blessed my life. God has just healed my life. You and I want our lives to be that sweet aroma. I want my life to be a sweet aroma. I want that story that I just told you to be a sweet aroma that perhaps starts a healing in your own life. How often have you heard someone speak of something you were going through, and they made it through it, and you thought, yes, I can make it. With the help of God, I can make it in my life. That's what our lives are to be. That's why we come on Sunday morning, to to receive from the Holy Spirit, to be healed by the Holy Spirit. Last week, we looked at the passage of Scripture where God was named by a woman who was born into a family that was just insignificant. She was a slave or a handmaiden. No one cared about her. She had her lot in life. But see, there was someone who cared about her. Jehovah Rohi, the God who sees. He said, I care about that slave woman. I care about Hagar. She's going to be for me the mother of the Arab nation. So matter what you're facing, what you're going through, I want you to start thanking God, because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. And I guarantee you that healing will start to come in your life. You will learn to trust God. You will learn to rely on God. Your life will become a life of gratitude. And then you can say, like the Apostle Paul, but thanks be to God who always leads me into Christ's triumphal procession and uses me to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Thanks be to God. We love God today. Let's pray. God, we're grateful. We're grateful. We know sometimes it gets so hard in our life. We're just crushed. It's almost like we're walked upon. But God, you're right there. You're right there saying, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. God, touch your people today. Begin to lift up souls and spirits. Begin to give people direction. Begin to define us as a church. And let us become that aroma to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand with me, and for this song, 10,000 Reasons, let's bless the Lord.
Thank you.
did good. Thank you. You did good. Always remember, if you need prayer after church, if you just want someone to pray with you, just get a hold of myself or Pastor Karen. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. God, I ask now that you'd bless your people, fill your people. Make us people that are grateful. Let us live lives of gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless you.